Hello there, and welcome to this very special interregnum, if you will, of us. This is Greg, your UK correspondent.
Very special RFN.
Yeah, and joining me are my usual compatriots, James Jones.
No means no.
And John Lindemann.
Worst E3 ever.
Oh, he's already given it away. You got to lead up to that.
Sorry, man.
No, we have 20 minutes to kill and nothing to say.
Yeah, so this is the sort of the RFN home team. Due to not that popular demand and personal vanity, wishing to bring you our thoughts and the reactions to what's gone down this week at E3, I'm sure.
And the fact that we've done all the work.
Oh, yeah. Do you wish to file a grievance in audio form?
There's a certain type of article missing from our site that starts with an I. Usually you get them from these big events.
I'm sure we won't be missing from our site for long. They'll be filled in at some point.
We know they're playing all that great Wii software.
Yeah, there's a lot to be done. I think we should hopefully be hearing from them. I'm sure our audience, like us, has been listening to their reports from LA throughout the week. And
what are you talking about? I've been editing them and I haven't been listening.
Well, there is exceptions to every rule, James. But also, I think they did say that in their final segment they're going to be giving some more sort of feedback on some of the third-party games and stuff that they played, so maybe that'll be a bit more fruitful than just the Nintendo stuff. But yeah, we're gonna get into just our personal takes on what it was like, you know, the build-up to it, and then it happened. So I'm gonna start with John in terms of how you I know pretty much how you reacted to it, but you know, for the sake of posterity, let's go through
this. Record this for all time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I watched it. I came home from work to watch it because it was conveniently, the Nintendo conference was conveniently at noon on the East Coast, so that was pretty nice. So I got to watch the whole thing live, and pretty much the only thing I could say when it was done was that's it. There's nothing else. Because I mean, there was nothing. What really kind of alarmed me about it was the fact that even though Nintendo actually does have a couple of games that are geared towards the hardcore audience, like Conduit, Mad World, and
Fatal Frame, which
they
should be publishing in the West as well as Japan.
Yeah, and also Capcom's Dead Rising. Also, which for some reason got announced the next day, I guess, by Capcom.
Yeah, but in the Infamitsu Weekly, not in anything associated with E3.
I mean, the timing was more than a coincidence.
Yeah. Certainly, but still, it bears mentioning in terms of what came out of the event itself.
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I just found it completely baffling that they announced nothing. I mean, the only thing I really expected, realistically, was that they would have some montage video at the end. With several kind of hardcore games tossed in there, right? Maybe not even anything new, but at least something. But there was nothing. So
yeah, and we didn't get any of their cheesy canned music montages.
No. I mean, it was just amazing to me that this was the first E3 where they actually completely, they completely ignored anything more than the hardcore gamer, or more than casual gamers.
Apart from there was some interludes about third party DS software and that came out with the Ubisoft snowboarding
game.
That is what you call stoking James fire for the start of the conference.
It's too easy.
But really, there was a three part thing. We went from Animal Crossing, City Folk, to begin, and then to the new Wii Sports using the Wii Motion Plus, Wii Sports Resort, and then finishing off with Wii Music. That was really it. Was a three-pronged sort of thing.
Yeah, well, you also had the Sean White game in there, but the thing is, you completely forgot about it because it was meaningless.
Bad.
I mean, it was so terrible.
It was bad. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
He honestly looked like he was high and didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
He looked like he had never played the game before. And Nintendo's new, what's her position? Vice President of Public Relations?
Yeah.
I
God, she's worse than the woman she replaced.
The thing is, though, is that I'd really find it a curious sort of decision in terms of, I assume one does not get to be in that sort of corporate position from being like Bob Hope. So I don't really see why she's up on the stage trying to be priceless
that's
or whatever.
Her job, to do PR, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but there's PR and then there's warming up the crowd. I mean, they're very separate functions as far as I'm concerned. Well, it just seems the whole thing felt a bit awkward, really.
The thing is, you have to think about the audience that Nintendo is trying to capture, right? If they're going after soccer moms, who better to sell to soccer moms than her?
Yeah, and there was a lot. There was a job brings up a good point because they're straight away the mother family relationship kind of stuff was in there immediately with the references to the snowboarding from the very beginning. So that's a good point.
That entire press conference was put together for the Today Show, and they're quasi reporters because that show has never and never will be a news show.
Yeah, it's
very fair point in terms of they did kind of go for this last year, but it's worth remembering that last year they did have Metroid Prime 3 as quite a significant part of the conference. That wasn't especially exciting because it was only 1 month away from release at the time. So, but the fact was they were on stage with this very, very core gamer appealing game for a very significant portion of the conference, relatively. That now seems like a mirage, doesn't it? I mean, you couldn't have conceived of that at this conference, could you not?
Well, we could have, but we'd have been wrong. And we did, and we were wrong.
Well, in retrospect,
It just makes me wonder. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got the great statement of like, oh yeah, some of our teams are working on stuff. Well, that's great. I didn't know that.
I mean, are they paying to sit around?
Yeah.
Can I get that job? We're not working on a new game. We're just sitting around.
Yeah.
They haven't been decommissioned.
Our employees are working. Great.
Yeah.
That's
great.
I mean, it was interesting because just how deliberate the insinuations were that they were actually new Mario or Zelda games in those specific franchises was not clear. I think Miyamoto said in subsequent remarks that he has said that the Zelda team normally works on Zelda games.
Yeah.
That's almost saying they're working on Zelda.
Of course they are. The fact that he felt the need to indicate that they normally work on Zelda games, they've never not worked on a Zelda game?
I mean, it makes me think they're not working on a Zelda game. Yes. I mean, EAD Tokyo, I could imagine, may not necessarily be working on a successor to Mario, although of course they may well be.
But of course they're working on something. I mean, those teams are always working on something.
Yeah, exactly. If that's all you're going to say, that they are working on something, it's like, yes, you have not made mass job cuts.
Yeah. It's like, you haven't fired them. Well, that's just great, guys. At least they have
something to do. Or they've just not, like, getting the... months and months off of just sitting around the office just going, I don't want to work on anything right now.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have the whole...
That was meant to be reassuring, I suppose, and it isn't because it's practically, it's just self-evident.
It's non-news.
I mean, this,
yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, it's non-news. So, the same thing, I mean, and then you have the whole Pikmin thing. I mean, why not say that at
the
show?
The Pikmin thing came during their developer roundtable that some of the gaming blogs, in their infinite stupidity, started the rumor that it was going to be the site of the Core Gamer Megaton announcements, which, of course, because a gaming blog insinuated it, it was invariably wrong.
Yes.
Well, also, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, really, I mean, you couldn't even construe the Pikmin thing as that at all because it was a very casual mention. We weren't shown anything from it. There was no specifics of any kind, not even so far as a platform, although one would think it would be for Wii.
But we've talked about how it could work very easily on the DS.
Well, it could be. I mean, it's very difficult to know for sure. My feeling would be it would be for Wii. I mean, in the setting of that event, it was all the games they were discussing were about Wii, so it would seem incongruous.
But it's important
to
note, though, that
DS
it doesn't
game.
Feel like they had planned to mention Pikmin. Because
no, I think it was
right.
It was kind of off the cuff. It came
in response to a specific question about the franchise, and then the event was immediately ended after he said that.
I think that was probably just a spur of the moment thing. Just see, may as well. It's one of those near open secret type deals.
Yeah, but the question is, was he shuffled off stage and that's why it ended, or did it just happen coincidentally
I just think
be
they,
there?
They were wrapping up the question and answers, and that's how he sort of chose to issue his final response. I think probably just little.
I was wondering if maybe
moment.
Like Bill Trinan like pushed him off stage after he said that.
I strongly doubt that. But I mean, going back to the conference itself, the experience of it there. James, you had a different experience from John.
Yeah.
In terms of you didn't see it live or anything like that.
Yeah,
so
both of you
that.
Actually watched it live in our chat room that we forgot
we
had.
While we were watching John and I were in the chat together.
I actually couldn't because I actually have a job. And people expect me to be there.
And it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon over here.
So I was at lunch during part of it. We're actually in the middle of a project, so I was constantly going back and forth and doing some footwork during lunch. And we have filtered internet at work, so I couldn't even get to the site on my computer at my desk. So I was having to use our internet terminals, which are basically just dummy machines that have unrestricted internet access, and just checking the live blogs. But I was only able to do that like 3 times. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking, God damn, they're going on about this new Wii Sports for a long time. Because I didn't realize it was the whole damn show.
Yeah.
And then when I got home was the first time I actually got to see what was announced. And I just was just like, wait, that's it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's it, number two.
Yeah. So when I actually watched it, it was after I had talked to Greg the night of the conference. And I had mentioned that I didn't get to watch it. And he pointed out, as someone noted in the chat, I think it might have been John or it was Greg, that the entire chat or the entire presentation was put together to piss me off. not only did the first fucking game they show come from Ubisoft, who, if you'll read in my current blog post, I honestly said is hurting Nintendo as a company and should not have even been allowed to be at their press conference. Like, members of Ubisoft staff should have been banned from entering the room. even as members of the audience, banned. Get out. But they sure as hell shouldn't have been on stage because, as I noted, they have not put any significant effort into a Wii project since launch. And that is not the criteria in which they should bring them up. And because, honestly, I think a casual game is fine, but if it's a bad casual game, you're going to hurt Nintendo's Blue Ocean strategy.
Well, I know you may be damaging the brand if it's in a certain way, but I mean with the snowboarding game, that's a bit different.
Yeah, that's
really.
not the point though. I'm just saying that Ubisoft is actually now enemy of the state.
Well, enemy of real estate anyway.
No, yeah, they are an enemy of the Blue Ocean strategy. By pumping out shit like this, they will hurt the theory that if you can get people casual games that are still fun, eventually they'll go and they'll buy games that aren't quite so casual. If you give them casual games that are feces, they're going to think gaming sucks and stop doing it.
So what are you saying about that? Because later on in the conference, after the opening with Sean White, we had three Wii third-party titles spotlighted that included Rayman Raving Rabbids 3.
Which is a completely devoid of soul sub-franchise of the Raving Rabbids, I mean of the Rayman franchise.
Yeah. And of course, another balance board game. That's two balance board games from them. So they're fully embracing the... they're obviously aiming for a very...
Well, you know, you play the
segment.
Rayman one with your ass, and that's very appropriate.
Yeah, thank you.
and then later came Reggie on stage to discuss the platform sales of DS software, because 2/3 of this press conference was devoted to how goddamn rich Nintendo is.
Yep.
And it was more so than any press conference they've done yet. And it was just, look at all this money. God damn, that's a lot of money.
Look at this. We don't even have to make games. We just sit here and the money rolls in.
Well, there was a sort of the loose kind of rationale for them beating their chests, fiscal chests or whatever, in this way, was that, in fact, you know, it was the specific demographics that, you know, year on year, they're more and more of the percentage of people buying systems are female.
Because they're not making any games for us.
And then the pace of the Wii is actually accelerating as it's going. You know, it's not slowing down. It's selling at this record pace, but that is in fact an increasing pace, so we needed to be apprised of that immediately.
I honestly expected, like, in one of the times where he went off stage and came back on, him to like drive in a brand new top of the line Mercedes convertible, like, I bought this with all our goddamn money.
Or just like drive it off the stage and be like, whatever, I can buy another one.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how well that would go over with the USA Today crowd in the current economic climate, James. I don't think. You just say Reggie sort of got up there and said, "Look, I am so rich, I'm just going to guzzle this petrol."
Yeah,
and, you know, look how much this would have cost.
Just gone and just like, I'm going to buy gasoline for everyone at this gas station, and then I'm not going to give it to them.
That's right. Well, what I thought was really interesting was when they, you know, I think James touched on the fact that I think they showed that the DS is like the audience is 46% female. What I thought was really interesting was when they asked them about, you know, like what kind of games they had for the hardcore. They said, okay, well, we have Grand Theft Auto for DS, and we have Animal Crossing. Well, first off, Animal Crossing isn't a hardcore game, so that's just laughable.
No, it's a communication game that we're just now going to be able to talk in.
Yeah, but the thing is with Grand Theft Auto, though, the funny thing is they kind of cited that as one of their hardcore games, but yet they make it for a platform that they themselves admit has a 46% female audience.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting, isn't it? If we look at the overall, approach in terms of most of the game. Obviously, they get the three-pronged approach that we talked about from Nintendo. Very much mainstream crossover appeal. You know, Animal Crossing, it has a sort of crossover appeal.
Right.
It's not a traditional game. And then obviously the new Wii Sports with the Motion Plus and Wii Music is supposed to be very sort of casual to mainstream appeal. Now, with the DS software, they showed Guitar Hero, Grand Theft Auto, and Spore, which is a bit of a different sort of strategy. That was more like they were hitting on these sort of gaming brands, but that have mainstream recognition. And
yeah.
I think that's where they really showed who exactly they were talking to, in terms of when they were even getting into the more core gamery kind of things. They were brands that had some... I mean, Spore is a bit different, but, you know, it's Will Wright and all that is a little different. But
I don't know.
Especially with Guitar Hero and Grand Theft Auto, those two brands resonate in the mainstream, even though they're not necessarily... they're going to be the same people that would buy a Wii Music. They still are aware of them. So it's
right.
Like
it's
everything...
a more casual gaming crowd than, say, the people who are following The Conduit.
Yeah. Well, obviously, but also it's an awareness issue, you know, in terms of the people that they're speaking with, in terms of to the MSNBCs and the Newsweeks and all that of the world, is that even if that's not really their audience, they know of that. So everything
right.
they're saying is resonating. It's not like, but you know, it's something like Fire Emblem. What the hell's that? I don't care. You know,
yeah.
Our readership doesn't know that. And because they have things like Fire Emblem, Kirby, Rhythm Heaven, the localization of Rhythm Tengoku. That wasn't mentioned in their press conference.
No, it wasn't.
No.
I didn't even know it was coming to the US until sometime after the press conference.
Well, it was the press kit that tipped it off, actually.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because they went through all of that, and then they put the assets up, and it was like, oh, look, Rhythm Heaven, it's been localized. And then, of course, it was on the... You know, people could play it on the show floor, and
right.
I think TYP's already played it. So, yeah, that became evident. But, no, they didn't mention it after. So the point is they're not going to discuss these sorts of things, it seems, with the mainstream media. Because
is
who they're talking to. They are quite literally talking over the heads of the gaming press that are sat there in the auditorium.
Right, I think Penny Arcade said it best when, not their comic, which was all, it did kind of summarize what was relatively disappointing E3.
Pretty much.
For everybody. I mean, nobody had a good E3, honestly. Microsoft unveiled something that looks like a mix of the Apple's iHome TV system.
Yeah.
And Nintendo just was like, God damn, we have got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Sony just kept, please pay attention to us.
Well, yes, your patience for home will be rewarded.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Is that officially vaporware now, home?
Well, I mean, Sony, I mean, for me, Sony was the most interesting just because they have the games that I'm kind of looking forward to the most. And at least the thing is, at least they actually have their video download service that you can actually like buy stuff for, not just stream it, which is kind of cool. But still, there was nothing really there that was just really surprising. Even MAG, which was like, you know, their big, you know, kind of like their big surprise, was like, that looks kind of cool.
But
it's kind of like Warhawk on steroids.
Yeah, it's not like it's, whoa, cool. It's like, eh.
Yeah, it's like,
okay.
It's neat. It could be neat. You know, it was nothing like, oh my
they
God.
I honestly feel like Sony, of all the companies there, needed something after the Final Fantasy 13 announcement.
Yeah.
And they didn't have it. They did not have
indeed.
Something to dull that blade.
I mean, obviously, I mean, they had the God of War 3 brief trailer, but that's nothing shocking. I mean, everyone knows
that game.
Out.
Is, yeah.
And the only thing that could have really upped the ante if it was a more substantial appearance than people had foreseen.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
it
if it had
trailer.
Been there and playable.
you know?
But yeah. No, it was a pre-rendered trailer, which is sort of like the par for the course for Sony.
Yeah.
First year, pre-rendered trailer. Second year, not there. Third year gameplay video doesn't look as good as the pre-rendered trailer. Fourth year, people actually get to play it. And then fifth year, it comes out, and it's not even the same game anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. With the three sort of conferences, really, I mean, none of them did deliver anything really earth-shattering. Probably
no.
The biggest thing, in some ways, was the Final Fantasy XIII.
Well, I think that's definitely the biggest news out of the conference.
Yeah.
To go into Xbox 360 for the Western markets. But,
yeah.
I mean, for me, it really was... It says something about the way the events kind of gone. I mean, my experience of it was at 5 o'clock in the afternoon for the Nintendo part of the day, and obviously I'd kind of been looking forward to it all day. I'd been looking forward to it, you know, in the build up towards it, even though my expectations were fairly reserved. And I just couldn't help but be quite significantly disappointed when, you know, we finished up on Wii Music, or Wii Pretend to Play Music, as I like to call it.
Wii Tourette Syndrome.
That game obviously looked...
I don't know.
It is kind of what we thought about in terms of going to occupy a very different space from Guitar Hero.
It wasn't going to go
with a peripheral, or it's going to be something a lot more accessible.
I think in my E3 predictions, which all of our predictions were shot to hell.
Yeah, I mean, the Motion Plus pretty much blew.
Yeah, that was actually blown to hell before we even started.
Well, exactly. I mean, James, yeah. We're actually asking for good games, cool new stuff. Nintendo offers us none of those things.
No, it was predictions, man, not what we want.
yeah.
So we still failed. We failed at our mission because I don't think anybody got anything right.
My feel was you get caught up in the anticipation of it, and then it happens, and then nothing really happens, and I couldn't help but be very, very sort of disappointed because some of the reason for that was not just because I got caught up in the enthusiasm of it, but also because, you know, there had been the rhetoric from Reggie that there would be one thing at the conference for this year, you know, not just one thing, but for this holiday season, that the core games.
Well, do we even know what he was talking about?
Well, in his remark, whether there were things behind the scenes that have happened in the intervening months that have changed things, and that's why we didn't see it, is another. But what his public statements now, after the fact, seem to indicate that he was talking about Animal Crossing. You know, the fact that it's got voice chat makes it that,
even though
it was people that wanted to, you know, mock their friends with profanity while teabagging them on FPS, we'll be happy that it's in Animal Crossing.
In front of their house and mocking them.
Yeah, that was the main... that's whether he's fudging that after the fact, and they had at one time thought they would show something that, for maybe developmental reasons or purely PR strategic reasons.
Yeah,
but see, they still could have shown it. I still think it wasn't strategic because they still could have shown it at the round table. Because as I understand,
they could have done. I mean, I think that the thing, their policy now seems to be they will show things around to things like that very close to release. That's their new mantra, isn't it? And I guess the one possibility was that if the development had not proceeded as quickly as they had foreseen,
but Wii Sports isn't close to release. That's a 2009 game.
Well, but I suppose the thing with that is it's unique in the sense that those specific fractions of Wii Sports Resort may be quite close, they feel. Because they're only showing 3 out of 10.
Well, projected 10.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, with Wii Sports Resort, it's quite easy to take a slice out of that and show.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were talking about some of the other things that were suggested, like any of the familiar franchises, Pikmin included, that was merely mentioned, I mean, that's probably quite far along, but just not far enough along.
Well, see, when the Wii Motion Plus was announced on Monday, which essentially threw the entire staff of the site into, oh God, what just happened mode.
Yeah.
And you could read that in the email threads, guys. You could go back and there's chaos. There's a little bit of like, oh my God, what does that mean for tomorrow? What are they going to announce? Like, we thought maybe that they had pushed it out because they had a big game coming that was going to support it.
Yeah.
Well, the first question
and,
that
and
raised
in reality,
the way...
they did because
yes.
this conference wasn't at us. And I finally found that Penny Arcade I wanted to go. There's a delicious irony endured by the Nintendo Star Walt to see their platform of choice ascendant even as their bright god turns his face away. Though it contained very little sustenance for our kind, the presentation was, as is typical, a confident, refined air. The salvo was not a failure, it was simply aimed elsewhere.
Yes, exactly. And I agree. Well, no, it's interesting, really, because Miyamoto, in an interview with the MSNBC, has actually said quite explicitly, the E3 is not that's not its focus anymore. It's providing us with information or hype or whatever you want to call it.
But see, that's sort of the thing I miss, because Nintendo's conferences were always more like political rallies than they were information
sessions. Yeah, really. Stoking the flames of fanaticism.
Yeah, I mean, even the old grizzled media guard would get excited at these things.
Well, it was kind of like the gaming Super Bowl, you know? I mean, every single year, that was the event to go to. You know, it was where everything happened. You know, everything was shown. You had these huge surprises. It was great.
Yeah, but I mean, even out of that, you read some of the people from IGN who don't even cover Nintendo stuff, and they were the ones always, they were even looking forward to that particular press conference, because there was a certain air about it, and it just wasn't there this time.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
like,
no, but I think the real thing is this: is that if we go back to last year, you know, obviously that year with the Wii Fit sort of being the primary sort of focus of that was kind of but you still had Metroid Prime 3 up there.
Yeah.
That to me was kind of transitioning into now what Miyamoto is quite explicitly saying. We are going to use this platform as, you know, because for once the mainstream media's attention is, for whatever spurious reasons, fixed on this event. Mm-hmm. And we're going to use that as a platform. Whereas we've got the ear of everybody else all the time.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know,
my only concern, so in that sense, even though I got caught up in it and I was quite disappointed when Wii Music was the last one, and even, you know, it did feel like there was something quite missing.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be something at the end, whether that's just me or whatever, but it did feel like it should have been something at the end. There wasn't. But the fact that putting in perspective, if it's just a case of, well, it's completely aimed elsewhere, and you know, they've been slipping hardcore game stuff out for a while. You get something like Advance Wars Days of Ruin for DS. That gets completely slipped under the radar in a European release schedule, and then it comes out about 2 months later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they're doing things now with the hardcore market. I mean, the only kind of the big franchises that we'll probably see on an E3 stage from here on out that we care about is Mario and Zelda.
Yeah, I mean,
anything else, you know, it's stuff like Animal Crossing or Mario Kart that has a kind of crossover appeal that can still find its way in. But you know, if there is some sort of, you know, resurgence in the Metroid franchise or the Star Fox franchise or F-Zero, don't count on finding it at E3 in the future.
So you're saying they're going to... Pokemon will show up on the E3, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Pokemon as well,
because
they'd already
course,
did.
Because
I mean, they played
crossover,
the Pokemon.
Yeah,
yeah, that's another mainstream crossover.
By the way, I would like to point out the exact context I used for describing Reggie's discussion of Pokemon, the thoughts that went through my head when I heard it.
Yep.
You should not be proud of this game's sales. You should be ashamed that you have stolen money from so many people.
Well, I mean,
but I'm pretty sure that this whole conference was the aforementioned Reggie taking names, and he just happened to take mine that day.
Yeah.
He just targeted in on a certain features editor of a Nintendo-centric website. As I'm afraid to say anything too negative, because he might have bugged my room.
I mean, the big problem I have with E3 now is that I feel like it's kind of in this weird middle area. It's not quite the E3 that it used to be, but then it's not GDC either. So what the hell kind of a show
Indeed.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, GDC is kind of growing, because obviously, I mean, correct me if it was Gears 2 first announced at GDC. Was that right?
It was sort of like the announcement we got yesterday of Pikmin. It wasn't like...
Yeah, it was... But then it was seen after that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the past, I'm sure that wouldn't have happened. They just would have held it over for E3, and they just would have blitzed you with Gears 2.
Honestly,
there and then.
I think E3 might be too late now. I think E3
now
might
it's,
be
well,
so
yeah,
late
it has
year.
Moved 2 months. It's moved 2 months, hasn't it, from May to July. So that's a factor.
Yeah.
And so now we've got this sort of... Because stuff like GDC's taken on more prominence, the publishers are getting more involved with their own gamer days and things. It's more of a drip of information.
Ubi days.
Sort of, and kind of sustaining the people, you know, because it's being followed online by the enthusiasts, you know, pretty religiously in some cases, you know, week to week, day to day.
Am I supposed to be doing that?
They are supplying that audience with a sort of drip of information. That's the kind of the new way to stoke hype, rather than blitzing them with one overwhelming force in a conference. And I think the one thing, one of the differences, Microsoft are kind of trying to hedge it a bit, because they talked about avatars and branching out, and they had the movie game they had on the about where you're in bad B movies or whatever. That's called.
You're in the movies.
They had that. So that was kind of Nintendo-y. Oh, you know, it's kind of, we're going to get some of our executives up there and they're going to fool around and all that. And that's what Nintendo were doing. It's like, oh, we've got our Nintendo executives up. It's kind of awkward. It's kind of funny. Isn't it charming and amiable?
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, they had Peter Molyneux up there, Cliffy B, you know,
I can't stand either of those people.
The point is that those people resonate with the core game audience, whereas you will never see that
Peter Molyneux doesn't resonate with anyone. Everyone thinks he's a smarmy bastard who essentially oversells all his games.
Well, I don't think resonate implies that they have great personal affection for him.
Look, there are probably people in that crowd who would have hurt him if they could have gotten him in a one-on-one situation.
The point is, obviously, you have Miyamoto coming up there, and obviously Iwata is a former game designer. But the point is really that you wouldn't get people, you know, like that coming to a Nintendo conference anymore. I don't think, you know,
they wouldn't do it because
Sean White and his extraordinarily tired, high, and inexperienced
Nintendo are not communicating to that audience, and in a sense, that's fine. I don't really care, you know. I mean, if E3 is kind of not what it was, Nintendo are kind of using it for a very specific purpose now. That's kind of at cross purposes with the gaming media and us a bit, but you know, it's kind of awkward. But I see what they're doing. The question is, how are they going to hype up their games? Because right now it seems like the option is just not to do it.
Yeah, and that's
is slip Advance Wars under the door, slip Wario under the door. That's what they're doing, and to me, that's where the danger lies.
Well, yeah,
I mean, well and good to say we're not going to do it at E3, but you got to do it somewhere and somehow in a specialized way.
Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, if I was a smaller third party making games for the Wii, I would be pissed at Nintendo, because it's like, okay, so you're giving all this face time to these games that everybody knows. What about the games like The Conduit, where people don't know anything about them?
Well,
and they could really
be exposed. They could use the exposure, but they don't have a publisher yet. I don't think Nintendo was going to put anybody who doesn't have a publisher up
there. Well, I mean, they've done a decent job of getting themselves their own very...
No,
so,
IGN's done
them
a decent job of
getting them. Well, yeah, but they solicited that. I mean, you've got to give the developers High Voltage credit for actually getting IGN on board to become their
I'll give them that credit, but I'm going to take it away for still not having their updated their website since 2006.
They still haven't? Oh, my God.
They did give us contact information finally after 2 months of us trying to get it.
So, but you see, I mean, that's what my concern would be. In that, I mean, they did give Metroid Prime 3 some exposure, but you know, they kind of missed on the marketing, and then that sold okay.
Only because they had to. They kind of just, you know, said, it's a big current franchise.
But that was an earlier time. Metroid Prime 3, it was actually like the kind of, in a way, the first Revolution game ever shown, because there was like a little trailer thingy shown at 2005. Yeah. So that's kind of a relic at this point. Mm-hmm. In terms of the new games, we know for a fact pretty much that, you know, Treasure's working on stuff, Retro's working on stuff, Factor 5's working on stuff, EAD Tokyo's working on stuff. They're all, you know, these games exist. You can't infer from E3 that they don't exist. But the question is, are they going to get exposed, and how?
But see, the thing is, I think that Nintendo also was really insular with this year's presentation. In previous years, they'd brought in a bunch of third-party developers, they'd play their games, and this time they just brought in one publisher who thinks they make games, and put them on state, and put
They did, but they were also the publisher that they brought on heavily in 2006.
Yeah, and see how that worked out. Hey, Nintendo, get a hint.
The axe continues to be grinded.
But I mean, the worst part of that was it was so awkward. I mean,
he honestly didn't
look like he wanted to be there, and he honestly looked like he had never played the game before.
But that was not the only case of that at this year's E3.
No, the Wii music was awkward. Wii Sports was awkward.
Yeah,
Wii music was pretty
iffy in terms of it. Just if they were supposed, the musical performance of it was awful.
I'm sorry, it looks like you're playing the Wii Remote with Parkinson's. It's awful.
But you know, I mean, just in terms of the showmanship now, not the game.
Oh yeah.
In terms of
did seem kind of weird.
It didn't seem that well choreographed, if you will.
It also didn't sound very good. I mean, it's a music game, and the music sounded awful.
that is actually rather more relevant to the quality of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly if these people have, you know, been preparing for a major press conference where they're showing the game for the first time since, like, 2006, get the damn song down. Good
yeah.
God!
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So that was, but there were other cases apparently. Like somebody was demoing something, one of the music games. It might have been Konami's one, and it was like an actual band that they were supposed to like play it on the drums or whatever, a real set of drums, and play the song or whatever with the drums being a sort of focus. And then they move over to sort of Konami's game and like recreate the song on there, their own song, and they instantly failed.
Nice.
During the game. So I mean, if you want awkwardness, that's pretty awkward.
Failure.
But, I mean, well, it's always a danger.
Well,
in,
I mean,
when
that,
you do stuff like
that girl that came out to sing was pretty brutal in the Nintendo conference too. Duffy, I felt bad for her because I'm like, you're probably pretty talented, but you really can't save this terrible, terrible
presentation. Was that
Duffy?
The Microsoft thing?
Duffy, the girl that came out. Or was that, or am I thinking?
Was that for Lips?
I'm thinking for Lips, yeah. That was terrible.
That was the guy, the Elite Beat Agent guy.
Yeah, that was terrible. Absolutely.
That was another classic example. So, I mean, these could go pretty
wrong. And that,
that
particular press conference where they discussed Lips, mm-hmm. I mean, Lips had some buzz going into it, but its buzz
name.
Is a whole different kind of buzz coming out of E3 now.
Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, really, it's kind of unfair to you know, I mean, those kinds of things
don't really show it off very well.
I mean,
I think after E3, was it 06, they need to be so much more concerned about how they look in their E3 press conference. I think Sony pretty much proved you can fuck yourself over pretty bad if you give a bad presentation.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm, yeah, that,
I mean,
there was plenty of infamy associated with that one.
Yeah. E3 06 for Sony was probably the high watermark of low quality presentations.
It was just, embarrassing.
It was, and I think you saw a little bit of that at the Nintendo conference. You saw a lot of that when they were demoing Lips. Mm-hmm. That was just bad. Yeah. But, I mean, I think this was a much more awkward E3 than we're used to.
Yeah, well, it was kind of awkward in the sense that, you know, nobody had a bunch of surprise announcements to lean on. So it was showing games that were either explicitly known about or implicitly known about.
Right.
Animal Crossing and Wii Music have been implicitly known about for a long time.
I mean,
and I suppose the one thing, you know, for Nintendo is, you know, the Wii Sports Resort. That was genuinely surprising if you take out the fact that the day before you had the Motion Plus announced. I mean,
right.
Before that, you would not have seen that coming at all.
Well, you know, I mean, we knew when they announced the Motion Plus on Monday, they weren't just trying to be a buzzkill to Microsoft, even though there wasn't that much buzz to kill.
Yeah.
That they were,
as it turned
out, they had a game that they wanted to show and they didn't want to have to go over the
And of
Wii
course
Motion
the
Plus.
First question that the Wii Motion Plus raised was, how are you going to distribute this?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's obvious concerns about segmenting the market, getting the adoption rate up. It's got to be something that's going to resonate with a broad part. And of course a sequel to Wii Sports is very natural because it sold 3 million copies in Japan and it's packed in everywhere else.
And
it was a very logical place.
They've been selling Wii Fit like crazy and it's how much? $120 US?
It's not 120.
I don't remember how much it is.
It's either 100 or 90, or it's in that.
Yeah,
number.
I'm never buying that, so I don't know how much it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What disturbs me is that Wii Music requires the balance board.
Yeah,
well,
for
it
the
doesn't
drums.
Require it.
Well,
it?
Well,
just
for the
just,
drums.
That's not really requiring
instruments.
It.
Yeah.
It's just for a certain part of it, though.
I mean,
there's like 60 instruments in there, so the drums is quite... it may be one of the best parts. It certainly looks one of the more interesting.
Yeah.
And I heard something about that it could actually have the capacity to help you learn the drums, which would make it rather more sort of
useful
than some of the pantomime stuff.
Yeah,
that's
it actually...
Going on in
I mean,
that.
Watching people play that was the only part of the whole Wii Music where I didn't feel terminally embarrassed.
Yeah,
and I was sitting by myself in the dark.
I mean, that, but in all
God
fairness,
sakes.
That game is about embarrassment, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but there's
embarrassment,
and then there's
an
what we saw on Tuesday, and it's way above that.
I mean, the whole thing just looked messy to me. I mean, first off, when the four of them, you know, got into the group and started to play, my first reaction was, "Wow, that's totally fake," but then. It started to get so horrible that I'm like, wow, I think they're actually playing, and that sounds terrible.
Yes,
and
it was interesting because obviously it was prefaced with the idea that really you couldn't go that far wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's prefaced with, you can completely fuck it up and no one cares. like.
So yeah,
I
so
mean,
what's the,
well,
where's
no,
the
but,
game
but,
in that?
But
I mean,
even still, I mean, it was just odd for them to talk about how sort of accessible it was and how much easy it was to get in there and have fun, and then it sounded off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know,
that part of it for me, because you know, at the end of the day, you can pick up a triangle and bang on it yourself and try and play Master of Puppets. It'll sound awful.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
know,
I think that was
you
that
don't
your
lose
personal
anything
mission
for it.
I mean, I think those were the two biggest, you know, failure points for me for their press conference was, number one, the fact that, you know, they put all this time into showing off Wii music, but they didn't convince me that it's even remotely cool.
No.
And they also,
well,
you know, put all this time.
For,
well, they put all this time. Well, the thing is, it just looked terrible, and it looked messy the way they showed it.
It sounded
terrible. I don't think I really got an idea of what that game even could be. I think
no.
it was just completely
well, because,
boring.
Well, I mean, the question is whether it's even what could be described as a traditional game at all.
It's
and
not.
I think,
yeah.
Miyamoto,
I mean,
said at the game developers, the developers conference thing on Wednesday, pretty much that, yes, we are making more of a toy. That
I
it's
mean,
about
it's,
play
yeah.
rather than gameplay.
Right.
Like,
I don't see the hook at all. I mean, I just don't see the
well,
hook at
all.
Well,
I mean,
experience.
That's the thing. If you are used to traditional games, especially in the music realm, where it's very tangible, it's like you get better at it because it incentivizes you to get better, because it challenges you, and there's goals and objectives. These things do not especially appear to be found in Wii Music.
No,
so
they're confounding.
I can't understand how you are not going to be hooked into it.
But with something like Wii Fit, I can get that concept. I can grasp
right.
it.
There,
you know?
There, but see, there is a goal in Wii Fit.
Yeah.
And that goal is
mm,
to
yeah,
be
well,
fit.
That, and there's, in, and
Wii
there's
music,
incentives.
There isn't no real goal. There isn't a real goal. Wii Music's goal is to make you look like a jackass and play
no,
music
poorly. It's an interesting point in terms of there are incentive structures in Wii Fit. And there's also incentive structures in Wii Sports to an extent. You know, you've got your little score that goes up and down based
right.
on your performance. So you kind of want to keep playing well and keep in practice so you can keep
but,
that score
up or
something.
But just not just that. Wii Sports is a game. I mean, there is a game behind it. There is winning and losing.
Well, they're based on games.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It naturally
music,
has to be.
They've already explicitly told us there is no judgment system. You're not going to be told if you did well. You can't win or lose. It's just going to be congratulations.
Well, I mean,
my
feeling on this. My feeling on this is that, I mean, it doesn't especially interest me. I mean, it may well write it off at your peril in terms of being completely devoid of merit when Miyamoto is involved.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be some unseen kernel of sort of interest.
Well, I think we've seen that the Wii drum, the drums element could be good. But
yeah,
I think
that,
the
that's,
awesome
that, I mean, and like I said,
yeah.
there's going to be a lot of components to this.
Yeah, I think we've also seen
so,
the drum instruments.
There's,
just, I mean,
there's
no
a lot
wins.
Still to be said, but I think commercially, I can totally see the rationale.
Oh, yeah.
The space is in a, you know, to the center of Guitar Hero, you know, in the mainstream. Say not going with the peripheral, saying it's accessible for everybody, you know, and just a kind of again, it's very much. I mean, again, this is a game that has to be whether you know it's not necessarily simultaneous multiplayer, although obviously it can be, as we saw on stage, but it has to be played with other people. I mean,
yeah.
who is going
yeah.
to... I think Johnny mentioned it in the previous podcast for this week, in terms of, you know, you might muck around with your keyboard for a while, for about that last about 30 minutes. Well, that's probably going to be the lasting appeal of parts of this game by yourself.
Yeah, that's
it has
that's
to
really
be.
How I felt.
It
like
has
that,
to
that,
be a social experience.
Like that whole thing they showed where the person was banging on the big drum. I was like, okay, how that doesn't even look fun. What? Why would you ever want to do that? By yourself
yes,
or with somebody
yeah.
else. I just thought the stuff that they picked to show outside of the drum stuff with Ravi Drum or whatever the heck his name was, that stuff looked kind of cool, and it kind of intrigued me from the standpoint of, yeah, it would be neat if this thing can teach me how to play the drums. That's kind of cool. But if it can't do that, why would I ever want to play around with it?
I don't think you will, John. Honestly,
I think it's aimed at families. I think that's very clear.
Oh,
families first.
Yeah.
You know, it's not aimed at dorm rooms.
So
it's
John,
aimed
that's
at, you know,
it. You gotta go have some kids, man, before this game comes out.
All right, I gotta go, guys.
Get on it. See you later, man.
So, well, anyway, let's kind of move towards wrapping this thing up. We've certainly talked about it. I mean, obviously, we haven't talked a great deal about Animal Crossing. It is looks very similar, but it's going to have enhanced communication with the Wii Speak voice chat.
Yeah.
Which hopefully will be implemented into further games. I've already heard that Conduit is looking at using it
mm-hmm.
for its multiplayer, and I'd love the co-op
Sweet.
Pikmin.
We can finally teabag.
Yeah.
Yep. That's
Godfrey Wang strikes again, bitch.
And yeah. And I mean, one thing about Wii Sports Resort is that it doesn't necessarily look immediately like it's going to be the most killer game, but we still haven't seen a lot of it. But it's already looking like it's proving the worth of the Wii Motion Plus.
Well,
you think so? See, I don't think so. I mean, I came out of that saying, okay, so you can chop logs with a sword. You could do that with the old Wii remote.
But you, well,
you
could do
maybe
it,
less so accurate.
If you actually see some of the stuff, like with the, I mean, it doesn't look particularly compelling as a game, but with the frisbee stuff, and Windy talked about this in the podcast yesterday,
which is Nintendogs,
where we record. Well, but as I get, but the point is, like, you see, it's very, very, the one to one part of it is kind of they're delivering on it in terms of it actually really does. Even as Windy mentioned, you can hold it behind your back and throw it, and the character, the me on screen, will hold it behind its back and then throw it.
Okay,
I mean,
that's pretty cool.
It is that one to one.
But why did
because
they
said
that?
One to one. They said one to one in the press release.
They
for Motion Plus when it first went.
They did,
and
we
thought,
didn't
that,
believe
that's
them.
A bold. That's a bold statement. You know,
yeah,
that
we did
is
not
a bold
believe
statement.
Them at all when they
and,
said that.
But Wii Sports Resort does seem to be already showing signs that there is real substance behind that, and then the applications for other games are quite exciting.
Well, you know,
so
one of the things that really
take that
frustrates people who don't have Wii experience when they first, that sounds bad, when they first pick up a Wii remote is the fact that it's not one-to-one.
Yeah.
It's that whole, like, I point here, but the cursor's really over there, even though it's not lined up directly, or I do this, but my character on the screen, he kind of does that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was excited when I heard the Wii Motion Plus, and I figured they were going to show a big game with it.
Yeah.
What I expected, and this isn't really a big game, but what I expected was that one of those two Star Wars LucasArts games were going to be featuring it. And that's not going to be the case, because the Wii Motion Plus is coming out in
2009.
So it's a complete waste of potential.
Well, it is, unfortunately. I mean, the ostensible rationale for why we haven't had this before from the tech guys that are supposed to supply in this gyroscope technology that's using is that they haven't had it miniaturized and sort of cheap enough to produce something like this before with a gyroscope.
Yeah, I understand.
So they can just. So I guess it's just an unfortunate situation where LucasArts were proceeding with development quite naturally, thinking maybe they were never gonna get any better. On Wii,
well,
and now it has.
My other thought was that, oh god damn it, Ubisoft's going to be there with Red Steel 2. And
that's
going to be in Red
because
Steel 2. It's
going to
support
there
that,
has
and
been
the game is still going to not
they
be
have,
very good.
There were previous comments from Ubisoft that implied, in retrospect, they imply that they knew about this or had some knowledge of it ahead of time. In terms of they mentioned something about what's coming up with the man-machine interface.
Man-machine interface?
If Ubisoft have had advanced knowledge of this and there was those that talk that they kind of scrapped Red Steel 2 at one point started again, maybe there's some dots to connect there. And then
they wanted to make it cheaper and put a Z in the title.
Turn into a party game.
So that's kind of the thing. the
Red
Wii
Steel
Motion
parties.
Plus.
Red
Wii Motion Plus is, oh, how many dings can we get? Really?
Too many.
How many can be compressed in? So, I mean, with the Wii Motion Plus, got exciting applications. I mean, what Wii Sports Resort is the distribution model. I mean, it should be a fun game, hopefully, as well. And obviously it should sell a lot of copies, but for the core gamers, I guess it's just this is how they're going to deliver it onto us as well as in a separate sort of things for extra controllers.
Well, here's a thought. Are they going to start selling the Wii Remote with it? Because
these sorts of questions they haven't addressed.
It's sort of becoming the it's going to be the Nunchuck or the Motion Plus, but in fact you can actually chain them together. But
because Reggie did it on stage
with
the jet ski gang.
It's going to be kind of, you know, they're both sort of required pieces of hardware, I feel. And I'm going to wonder if you can make a game without
them. Well, I mean, it raises real questions about the segmentation of game development
and
the market in the future.
I mean,
the sense that will certain games
cheap.
Be made, will certain games be made where the gameplay is better with Motion Plus, but it works without it?
Will certain games be made if it's worse with Motion Plus?
Well, I mean, certain games can certainly be a lot more difficult with it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
I can see it being
like an option in games, you know what I mean? Like, you can turn it on or off.
Wait,
well, I mean, it's
it.
Kind
John,
of like,
Greg,
we're talking about...
You. Will you buy extra motion pluses for all your controllers?
Depends on the games.
Yes.
Is that it? I mean,
that is the failure of the Motion Plus announcement. They showed one game that is going to work with it, and it's a Wii Sports game, which is huge. I mean, another Wii Sports is huge for Nintendo and huge for the USA Today crowd.
I don't know if it would justify
me going out and buying enough Wii Motion Pluses.
I don't know,
in a party setting.
I don't know if I can buy a Wii Sports game by itself. It's cool as a pack-in. It's neat. It's kind of fun. But as a standalone game,
$30
I mean, well, it'll be interesting because
it's
going to
be full price. I guarantee
you that. Well, the way that I think I've heard it referred to is that the Wii Motion Plus is at no extra cost.
Yeah.
So therefore, the game is full price, but you're getting the accessory free.
Yeah, I'm not paying $50 for that game. It better have a lot of shit in it.
If it's got 10 fleshed out games, and I mean, you know, Miyamoto was talking about, you know, the jet ski element having depth on a par with Wave Race.
I'm willing to make a bet right now that Wii Boxing will be in Wii Sports Plus, Wii Sports Beach Edition again using the Wii Motion Plush. And that is what people were talking about that had caught wind of the
Punch Out.
Yeah, because there were some relatively well-placed sources that were on the know in that.
Yeah, there were strong indications of it. Who knows? I mean, it still could be coming.
One thing could be
because the question, even Punch-Out, kind of has a weird mainstream crossover.
Yeah, see, that's why I thought it would be there.
I think that's true. I mean, that was in the realms of feasibility. I mean, one way that you just a simple eyeball to, if you actually look at the top-selling virtual console games in America, there is only one of them that does not involve Mario or Zelda, and it's Punch-Out.
Yeah.
That's the only... So it obviously has some
Even
sort
my
of
friends who haven't played video games in 15 years know Punch-Out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I mean, that I still feel that could be coming. And in one sense, that's one thing that really is disappointing in its absence, because that could have fit in even to this E3. Yeah,
and it could have justified the Wii Motion Plus even more by saying, not only that, look at this. We got Wii Motion Plus in your Punch-Out.
Yeah.
I honestly think, though, that the one problem with that is confusing the messages, in the sense that they are trying to communicate very directly with the mainstream media, and they don't want to overload them. They want to say Wii Motion Plus and Wii Sports Resort, they're a package, literally and figuratively. They go together. You know, if they were then showing,
how dumb do they think the average person is?
It's a lot like, it's just trying to be clear and having a very natural focus for them to draw in on a narrative for them to write, you know, just keep it simple, keep it unambiguous.
Yep.
Because they just don't think James Carville.
Well,
I mean, there are a lot of parallels with that world.
But I mean, look at their audience. I mean, their audience are uninformed people. What do you want to say to uninformed people?
It just seems as simple a message as possible. They could bundle the Wii Motion Plus with both of those games, and it would still be a cohesive narrative. They may do that,
but I think the point is just at this E3, they may not have wished to, sort of confuse matters by saying, well, here's a Punch-Out game that uses the balance board and the Motion Plus, and then people are getting confused about, do I need the two? Or they just maybe in the end said, you know what, it's not worth the trouble. We'll keep it very simple, you know, and we'll address that further down the road. And I mean, it's an interesting point now that with Wii Sports being in 2009, that therefore they only had two things further in addition to Wario that's coming out in September,
and
Sluggers that's coming out in August, I think.
No one cares about.
Apparently Nintendo don't because they didn't show it.
Yeah,
even though that's
my point. Is Sluggers even on the floor?
I don't know.
I haven't heard that it's on the floor.
Yeah,
it may well. They put up assets in the press kit, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, they put up assets to a lot of games in the press kit.
Yeah, that weren't at the show, like the LucasArts games.
The other Nintendo published game, the Air game. Well, no, actually,
Millionaire is.
I wrote the preview to that game, and I can't remember its title. It's so unmemorable.
Yeah, Millionaire. Something.
Yeah, but
I mean, the key point is we've got past Wario, which we already knew about.
Yeah.
There's two games, one of which is Wii Music.
Yep.
One of which is Animal Crossing. is this severely lacking in as a holiday line? I mean, that's the main thing.
There has to be a press event in September. There has to be to announce something.
Yeah, because the conference itself doesn't really bother me.
John's
going to
go postal if there isn't.
Obviously last year was come E3 last year. We thought we were going to get Galaxy and Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
In the holiday period.
And we were like, man, this is the greatest holiday ever. But no.
Smash Brothers slipped and it still sold very well in March. But, I mean, at this point, so obviously we've just got your Wii Music and then Animal Crossing. And, of course, don't forget you had the idea of Brawl and Galaxy coming out in November. And then for the early part of the year after was the Mario Kart Wii Fit dual sort of pronged thing.
Right.
Whereas now you've only got these two games for December and then just Wii Sports for 2009. So it's looking quite a lot more sparse. And that's where John comes in. I mean, yeah, do they have to... Is there just too many gaps that have to be filled by something in September or some other time?
There has to be something. I mean, I'm just wondering, though, if they should maybe move E3 to September.
No, I think that's too late.
I think you should probably go earlier.
Because I think developers do get meaningful feedback from these E3 showings, and I think that if we moved games to September, the games itself might actually suffer because of it.
Well, I mean, it really depends where they are in terms of, you know, how
it seems
close
like
they are to releasing
the game. It seems like being in July is only incentivizing developers and publishers further to sort of drip information before it.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, let's tide this over till May. You know, if it was earlier, if it was back in May, maybe they'd be more inclined to say, we'll hold it and be a big blowout at E3.
Like the bellwether moment for that, because last year's E3 was just a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
And I think the whole Santa Monica experiment might have actually diminished the value of E3 so much that these other shows in other countries are so much more important now due to the fact that E3 completely...
Well, I mean, it's an interesting point. One game that's there that we are anticipating that, of course, went unmentioned is Mad World.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Mad World's trailer ends on a sort of weird cliffhanger because it's going to be a boss fight and just says, come back at Leipzig Game Convention in Europe.
Yep.
You know, it's very odd to see something that's quite explicitly say, wait till this other event, guys.
Yeah, I think it's just when those publishers demanded the ESA change its business model, they sort of shotgunned in the face the E3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it had its problems, obviously, which actually created this discontent in the first
place. Well, no, money created this discontent. Let's not kid ourselves.
But now it seems like it's in this very awkward position where perhaps, I mean, there may well not be one next year, according to some people.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that it was partially... A big part of it for a lot of the publishers was they didn't want to pay the big fees that ESA... puts on getting booth space. But that's how the ESA raises money. So the ESA had to increase their dues in order to keep up, and they increased dues
and then other publishers have left because of the dues.
Some of the publishers that left are the same damn publishers that were upset about the E3 dues.
Those
publishers shouldn't even be allowed to have press conferences in the city. Yeah. Or get their games raided by the ESA.
Well, I mean,
they can't sell their games, which means they have to come back into the ESA. But
I mean, any show that's missing, you know, Blizzard, you know, Activision,
Activision,
it's immediately undermined.
Yeah, it's hurt by that. And I think this all goes back to E3 06, where I think it was Sony that was the first publisher, as I understand it, that really started the referendum on E3. And I think that might have actually come from the fiasco that was the PS3 booth as people ran, all those videos, people running past it to get to the Wii booth. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be able to manage the image that it's given. I think that might have started it, and then the money issue, and then it just sort of compounded.
Yeah.
E3 might be killing the ESA.
Yeah, I mean, I never really understood why they didn't just pare it down to just the press. You know?
Because a lot of those retailers do need to be there so they can see what they're going to buy for the holiday season.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it's just the press, it sort of diminishes the event's, you know, charm.
Gone with the sort of two-pronged approach with sort of E for All, with the public, which
I think it needs to be the same event, But
that like, hasn't really. I mean, it's only been going 1 year, but it was quite sparse last year. Nintendo were one of the only people that took it kind of seriously. They actually had Brawl playable, which at the time was a big deal.
They need to do I think they need to follow the TGS method, which is like day one and two, press only. Day three, $50 a ticket.
I totally agree. Split it. You know, make it a massive circus of a show, but have part of it private, part of it public.
And if they're going to start it on Tuesday, why not just run it to Friday? Because now it's going Tuesday, Thursday to where it used to be Wednesday to Friday. Why not just go Monday, press conferences. Tuesday morning, press conferences. Tuesday afternoon, show floor opens. Tuesday afternoon to, say, 9 o'clock, it's private. And then at 9 o'clock, you can open the doors for 3 hours, sell tickets for maybe like $10.
Yeah.
And then Friday and Saturday, you have it open all day, $50.
Just think how much. I mean, everybody would be there. You would get coverage from the press, but then you would also get all of the, you know, the quote unquote amateur websites. They would all get there, pay to get in, and then give you coverage, free coverage. I mean,
and it would make everybody happy. The ESA could collect money. They could decrease their dues. They wouldn't have to charge as much for the booths. It's so perfect a solution that no one's smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to see where it goes from here, because it hasn't been a resounding success by most accounts in general. Obviously, there's been plenty of disparaging comments made about Nintendo's in particular, but as an event, it's clearly there's a malaise here, and it'd be interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, I think this might be the worst E3 since Atlanta.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think what's
bad
amazing
things
to me
coming from Atlanta, John.
I know, man. I know. I hear you, brother. But yeah, like, what amazes me though is it's the only show of its kind on the planet that's struggling the way it is.
Yeah.
Every other show, hey, no
problem. Of course, it's juxtaposed with unusually robust growth in the industry.
Yeah.
Even though the economy's been going through some rough times, the industry's growing at a remarkable rate, considering. Mm-hmm. Far outpacing its sort of the growth shown in its sort of rival for consumer dollars.
But isn't
so? It's interesting that at that time it's sort of struggling, but maybe it is getting just too broad to be sort of so contained within this event, and that's some of the problem. Is it's kind of chafing at the shackles a bit in terms of the mainstream versus the core and all these issues.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly don't think TGS is going to give us anything, because Nintendo has a long history of just pretending.
They haven't. I mean, sometimes they've synchronized announcements with that cycle.
Or they'll give
a keynote.
Yeah, they'll give the keynote speech and then won't be there.
Yes, they've done that plenty of times.
They announced the Wii Remote in one such event. Yes, they gave the keynote and then weren't there. It was very bizarre. And I think that we're not going to get it at TGS, but we might get... We're never going to get Space World again. That's gone.
Yeah.
No, but it is a very important point in my view that it's all it's all well. Even though, I mean, some of the disappointment I feel that people are feeling with this E3 is because of Reggie's comment, and then I think most Nintendo fans with realistic expectations were not expecting some blowout of Star Fox, F-Zero, Sin of Punishment 2, and you know they put Mad World up there and they did fail.
Yes, Mad World had no chance of being there because all that would happen was that the media outlets we've been talking about, USA Today at Today's Show, would have heart attacks in their chairs.
Yeah. So, I mean, no one was expecting that. But because of the specific comments about that they were expecting something, and basically what they were hoping to get that didn't happen. So I can understand that disappointment. But per se, I don't really care if the E3 conference is aimed elsewhere.
Yeah.
If there is an alternative way of giving these games that we know these kinds of games that we want are in development, they just are.
Yeah,
I was just surprised that it went so far in the other direction.
Yeah,
it was because like I said, for as much was said about last year's, it had Prime 3 there prominently.
Yeah, well, I think this actually once again went back to 2006, where even like news outlets like NPR were like just recounting word for word Nintendo press conference. I mean, it was bizarre to hear it, but at the same time, it was probably should have been something that we caught wind of, because they certainly did over at Nintendo. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Nintendo, I think, the more that they feel that that it worked last year, the parts of it with Wii Fit, that they got that resonance, they did communicate a message, the more that it will shift towards communicating with those people. And so, like I said, I mean, I don't think that we're going to see this is a sign of things to come if E3 continues in its current state, which is very much open to question.
Who knows what's going to happen to that show?
Yeah.
But the real important thing is they have to have a strategy for marketing and hyping up their core games if they want them to perform as well as they might. And so far, they haven't demonstrated it. So, what can you say about... they're very broad-based ones like Smash Brothers and Mario and all that. They did get a certain amount of E3 coverage. Obviously, Smash Brothers went heavily on the sort of internet hyping, with the dojo every day.
In retrospect, that's more absurd every time I think about it.
but the point is that they have to have some kind of overarching strategy. We're like, these people they are looking for the information, but these games do not sell themselves.
No,
they don't. Hype has a huge part to play, and then you get a kind of word of mouth going, and then it can actually, from a sort of core kernel, branch out. Because look at something like Halo 3,
Carnival Games.
At the end of the day, the sheer insanity level with the most enthusiastic people kind of had a viral impact that broadened that out to a very mainstream level. And then that can happen on smaller scales if you do it right. So I think what they need is a focused approach, but they just, when have they demonstrated that in the past?
I don't know. Is there an answer to that question, or is it...
No, it's a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping... maybe if you've got an example that's out of the blue, I'd love to hear it, but I don't think there is one.
No.
Metroid Prime 2 Echoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, this is the problem. They just haven't been able to... In many ways, I'm all for specialising it. Sell the one things on the one hand, and the dirty little secret is we're actually selling a shitload of core games as well.
Yeah.
But you've got to actually make an effort. That's the problem. And right now, there's no obvious outlet for them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I think that's... That's kind of the tricky part. Where are they going to show these? Leipzig? And Nintendo hasn't historically been at Leipzig, and Nintendo...
No, I mean, they. In fact, I think they said that it's moving from Leipzig the year after this one or something.
Yeah.
And they're not even going to go there.
Yeah, we know that NOE has proven themselves historically incapable of doing anything.
It's a different game over here in Europe.
Yeah.
The dynamics are a little different, but... The fact remains, I agree with John in terms of there has to be something at some point in the latter part of this year. Even if it's not for games this year, although I would argue there's clearly a gap in the lineup that suggests there probably should be something that fits.
There is no way that their Christmas lineup is going to be just Animal Crossing and Wii Music.
I don't know. That could make them a lot of money, those two games.
It will make them a lot of money, but they can make more money off different
things. That's exactly
they just
it,
don't
yeah.
have anywhere else to put it. Maybe they've just run out of space.
I mean, that
I really
to me,
don't believe it.
To me, that would absolutely be the worst Christmas ever for Nintendo if those are the two big games.
Probably would be, but what at the same time that they every Christmas they don't have enough supply in the market stream is the worst Christmas ever in my opinion, because it's gotten to the point now where it's unexcusable. They haven't met supply demand yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, obviously, the sales have been accelerating. So I guess the reason for that is that the supply has been improving.
Yeah,
the demand
but it's still not
has
there
remained
yet. And
consistent.
There's no
but yes,
reason
I mean,
2 years in that it should still be like this.
The problem is that, well, one of the reasons is that as many problems as they've had globally, they're not going to be desperate to ship them to the US because that's where they're getting the least return on it relatively.
Yep.
Japan, they don't have to worry about transport. In Europe, they've got the big markup, which is above taxes. I hear about the taxes. Trust me, it's bigger than that, the markup.
and they get more into the exchange rate too.
So, yeah, so the point is that if they had all the units they wanted, they'd ship them to the US in the quantities they would. But when you are constrained, it's just they are going to make decisions
but
to allocate
the only
units
place
they're
meeting demands
them.
Are Japan and was Germany, where for whatever reason you can find Wii's.
Well, perhaps. Well, I mean, Germany's kind of where they have their headquarters in Europe. I don't know whether that has anything to do with it, but
oh, okay.
In terms of transportation, again. But the fact of the matter is. that they are rationing units. I mean, it's just that, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And so what makes it worse is that you've got scarce supply, but then the US is on the short end of the stick.
Right.
Because it's just an economic imperative for them to do that. If you're going to allocate them kind of optimally, that's how it shakes out.
It's sort of a weird situation for Europe especially, and I guess America too, where NOE and NOA, there's clearly not that tiering of there's NCL, there's NOA, and then there's like down here with NOE and Nintendo of Australia, sort of just hanging out down there at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But now there's going to be Nintendo spawning all these smaller sub-Asian mini companies.
Yeah, they're broadening into the other Asian markets, the Koreas.
Yeah,
and things
Korea.
Like that.
The Korea product launches this week, I think. Are they gonna start rolling out the Wii there?
Yeah, we should be interested to see how.
I think
that's
already been in Korea, hasn't it?
No, the DS was.
I was under the impression they had already had two virtual console games there or something. They're very slowly building up.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they're getting more virtual console games a week than us.
Well, I don't know whether they are actually. It's quite sobering, but yeah. Look, the current situation with the supply is obviously an issue for them this holiday. But I mean, they have already, the NPD's confirmed it today. They're ahead of Microsoft now, even with the year start in America. So there's plenty of games to sell to people.
Which was the last holdout, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and that's A, because of that's where the 360 has performed best, and B, because the Wii could have sold more in America than it has, but
yeah,
with the supply issues,
so
it hasn't.
Is the only thing keeping them from just destroying everyone the supply constraints?
Well, there's probably an element of that. I mean, I don't know to what extent.
What would happen, though? What do you think would happen?
We don't really know exactly where demand is. We know it's above where they've been able to meet, but we don't know how high it is, where that ceiling is, and to what extent the fact that it's difficult to find is perversely driving demand and all
possibly
these kinds of weird kind of
but
issues.
But let's say they meet demand, and then they lob $50 off. Because you have to imagine by now, they've cut production costs pretty substantially.
Yeah, it costs nothing.
What if they lob another $50 off after they start meeting supply? Are we going to go through another perverse series of supply doesn't meet demand?
Man, I don't know.
I mean, I don't. They're not going to cut price without any kind of...
Yeah, forever. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, there
is
no
the
incentive
console to go its entire life at its launch price.
Yeah.
It could happen. I mean, it really could. I mean,
especially if we get what some media people expect, and that it will be a compacted lifespan of like 4 and 4.5 years.
Well, it's interesting with Wii in terms of where they're going to go with that, because because it's kind of taken out of this cyclical graphical hardware, mm-hmm. Life cycle that we've experienced before. It could be shorter, but it could be quite a bit longer. Because it's already behind the times. What difference does it make if it goes on?
Yeah.
Well,
there
is one big problem with that, in that even with just game saves, you will eventually run out of game space.
Yeah.
They'd have to do some things to service it over that life cycle. But I'm just saying, there isn't. They've already conceded the technical high ground.
Yeah.
So I just the diminishings, the costs imposed on them on falling farther behind. I don't really see it. And I mean, look at the PS2. It's still selling well. It nearly sold as much as 360 this month.
Yeah.
Well, June. Yeah. I mean, and that is being they're not supporting that.
I mean,
especially in the US.
Yeah. I mean, never underestimate the amount of people out there that just don't care about having the newest thing with the best graphics.
Yeah, they just want something.
We should point out at the same time that I am now the newest owner of a 360 as of 2.5 hours ago. So,
nice, James. Nice.
Somebody took the conference well.
Yeah, not so much that, as in I took everyone else's conferences so poorly. I'm like, well, and the price drop. It was sort of like, I have this formula of if I can justify the game based on their current selling prices of a bunch of games being as much as the cost of the console, and I have to have, and it just with the
no,
price
I mean
drop,
it's I mean Johnny that. Said it as well on the show from LA, that basically he's looking at this holiday season specifically and thinking, I'm pretty much gonna have to get one.
Yeah, I bought. Well, in my defense too, I did buy it with store credit. So.
Right,
yeah, so it's not like I went out and cashed
out.
I
mean, this may well be if the holiday season pans out as it currently appears it will, this may well be a very specific point where people get on 360 and even the Final Fantasy thing can play.
What if we run into a situation where the 360 is not doing well in America, which it is. It's not doing particularly well in Europe. I mean, it's not doing terrible, but it's not doing very well.
Yeah, I mean, Europe's weird with 360 because it's pretty robust in the UK, but on the continent it's
not
really good.
It does awful in Japan, whereas the PS3 does.
Well, it's not
does,
existing.
The PS3
it's irrelevant.
Does abysmal in the US. It does okay in Europe.
Well, it's ticked up a bit.
Yeah, but
it's still somewhat far behind.
In numbers.
I mean, I think what was the numbers they showed? I think the 360 is about 10 million. I think the PS3 is at.
Well,
five.
Whose numbers though? Because
going around
because,
five in the US.
Because multiple sites have immediately begun to question Sony's numbers.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, it's between probably 4 and 5 million in the U.S.
I think the point is with the
something
PS3
like that.
Is that, you know, it is selling more than 360 at the minute, but it's nowhere near enough of a differential to actually eat
right.
into
it, it's
the
basically
user
the same, and sometimes the 360 will just take a jump
it's
over.
It's very, very marginally eating into that lead.
Yeah, and like I said, every so running. Often, 360 will have a game, and there'll be a little jump,
and of course,
come back
in the
down,
most...
and...
And of course, in the most recent, they had quite a bump with Metal Gear.
Yeah,
and then in Japan, where it's not even doing that well in Japan though. I mean, it's doing okay, but it's not doing great.
It's not doing that well in Japan at all. It's still routinely being outsold by Wii on a week to week basis by 3-1,
yeah.
4-1.
I mean,
we're down from the 6-1.
Where there's no region that has, or there's no like international leader. Discounting the Wii for a moment, could it run into a situation where developers are just going to have to not have lead platforms anymore?
Well, I mean, obviously, with the current situation, it is a little strange with 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of the time, you are cutting your nose off to spite your face if you make it a PS3 exclusive right now.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Especially if you're a Western developer making it for Western gamers.
There's no point, Dan. You shouldn't even bother making it a PS3 exclusive, to be honest, because you're not going to be able to sell it.
I completely agree. I mean, the thing is with the weird thing about the PS3 and 360 is that, let's just say, you even if you only go with 360, you're cutting off essentially a third of the market.
You're cutting off the continent of Europe. You're cutting off Japan.
It's
and
weird.
The U.S.
I mean,
will be okay, but you know, everywhere else, it's you're going to only be able to sell the game in the U.S. and the U.K.
Yeah.
If you make it for the PS3, you'll sell a handful in America. You probably won't sell it in Japan because they don't really like Western games, and you'll sell it on the continent of Europe. Mm-hmm. What the hell
is
supposed
very,
to do?
It's a very curious that part of it. You know, obviously the Wii's sort of dominance is now sort of confirmed as uniform,
right?
Yeah, whereas everything else is very segmented and peculiar in general. So that is an odd dynamic. It's not something we've had for quite some time.
Yeah, I think the last time this happened was what? Where Sega had a good foothold in Europe. And
yeah, that's about it. Yeah, and it sort of it ran Nintendo really hard in America, and then of course was obliterated in Japan.
Yeah, where it was just annihilated. And then even in the Americas, the SNES finally came back and just beat the living hell out of it.
Yeah, sort of the latter part of its life, it sort of finished it off with DKC and a few.
Yeah, and that was the end. It was just destroyed from there on out.
That's the thing. I just can't see happening with the PS3 at all because it's just
it's not different.
Well, that's the thing. It has some great games, but the thing is, it's just not different enough.
Right, and I don't think it's had any games that come out yet where everybody who sees it goes, "God damn, we need that game." Because even the
likely,
Metal Gear Solid, even the
What they're struggling for is something that's like, well, this is only possible on PS3. They've kind of reached for it with MGS4 in terms.
But we've
of
already seen
it.
That's not the case because when they were talking about the Final Fantasy 13, you couldn't do this on the 360. Well, apparently you could because the game was always being built
multi-platform.
So FF13's kind of that's not panned out. MGS4, I mean. I mean, I don't know. It's done.
I still think they could do most of the visuals on 360 because for most developers say that it's easier to get the visuals you want on the 360. The PS3 might have more power, but it's almost impossible to use it.
the difficulty of programming for it. I mean, of course, there's this mad game, isn't there?
Space is the big thing for MGS4.
The latest pitch at this sort of only PS3 could do this is the massive action game or whatever at E3, wasn't it?
We're going to
256 players or whatever.
But see, I'm not sure how much that is related to the console as it is related to the server-side controls.
I have no idea in terms of the technical aspects. I'm just saying they keep reaching for this thing that's like...
This is the separation.
It's like everything with the PS, with the PS3. I feel like it's all like, kind of, they try to sell it on its like technical merits. Like it can do this amount of players, you know. And I just feel like the PS3 and don't get me wrong, I really like the PS3. I mean, look at any of my forum threads. I really like my PS3, but I still feel like it has a bunch of high profile niche titles.
Yeah, it doesn't have any high profile. Just like. All around titles.
Yeah, like I think of something,
and some of this segmentation is the reason for that, isn't it?
I think, right now,
you're best off trying to hit a niche in some ways because that's what it's giving you. I mean, those are the markets that it's presenting to you right now.
I think they've also, in Sony's case, have really hurt themselves more than I think I've seen any platform maker since the Saturn do with its guess what it's out now announcement.
Oh, that is farcical. I still can't believe that actually happened.
It did happen, dude. I've seen the video.
I know it did. I just can't believe
but,
it.
But I think they've done more to hurt themselves than anyone since then because they'd hype these games as being like the next big game and then they wouldn't pan out.
Yeah, but they're really not because they can all be done on 360. So
Or they'd hype them and they'd suck.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, I mean, I can look at the games I have on my shelf right now, and you know, there's like, I have like, okay.
So where's Lair, the next big game? Is it there?
Lair's garbage.
Warhawk.
I'll completely admit that. But you know, like something like Gran Turismo 5, I think nobody can deny that that is a great game.
No,
it is technically impeccable. But it's the kind of game that it's the kind of game that you look at and you're like,
is that not actually out yet?
No, well, he has the demo game that you have to pay for.
Yeah, the prologue, yeah.
Yeah.
The prologue's good, man.
Well, that'll be absolutely enormous in Europe. I honestly think the prologue is ridiculous, though,
as a prospect.
Yeah, I really don't know why they really released that instead of just releasing a new one. But anyways, but that is exactly the kind of game where you look at it and you're like, wow, that's really cool and that's really impressive.
But it's so niche.
Don't really feel like buying it.
Yeah, and not just that. There's now the Gran Turismo franchise was sort of resting on its laurels for a while, has a significant challenger on the 360.
I guess so. I mean,
I can't remember what the franchise is called, though.
Forza.
That's right, because Sony used Forza assets in advertisements like 3 times.
Yeah, but I mean, I still think Gran Turismo 5 is like the preeminent, you know,
racing simulation game. I think they lost ground on 4 when they pulled out the netcode, and then Forza had, you know, a fully featured online play.
Yeah, but I mean, I look at all these games... I mean, I look at them like, you know, like Uncharted. That's a great game, and everybody should play that game. But people are going to look at that and be like, Uncharted, I don't really know anything about that game. And, like, a lot of these games, like Folklore, you know, even Ratchet and Clank,
Folklore looks great, but...
Yeah. But who's going to play that? You know what I mean? Like, it's not the kind of thing where people are going to say, wow, that game looks so amazing, and it's so different and so unique that I'm going to go out and buy a PS3 for it. I mean, even like Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Metal Gear is such a niche franchise.
I think that probably shifted some units.
I would say it's still a really niche franchise, but it's not going to get the mass market.
It's more about the sort of enthusiasm of those that like it than it is the breadth of those that like it.
For sure. They seem to have a lot of franchises that they're really well done, well executed, but they're kind of like the cult hit, loyal fan base games.
So there's you're nothing saying like, that they're kind of doing a Nintendo thing right now.
Kind of. I mean, like they don't have that kind of thing like Halo, where people that don't even know anything about gaming know about Halo.
Yeah, where it crosses over into the mainstream.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, that is a challenge. Obviously, Nintendo's assault on the mainstream is very different. It doesn't really cross over. It sort of is there.
Yeah, it's just nothing to cross. It's there right now.
Whereas with Halo, it's like it's firmly rooted in everything that core gamers want. You know, the functionality, the online, the graphics. But they somehow, through hype and word of mouth and marketing,
ridiculous alternate reality games.
Yeah.
They just push it in so that, you know, it's this great juggernaut that just leans over into the mainstream, and then, you know, it gets that kind of wide recognition. Yeah. You get these huge
and you get
numbers.
Dumbass crap like G4 putting banners on over their entire screen over the day.
Sure.
I mean, it's just Sony doesn't have that right now. And
no,
I don't see any game coming down the pipe where they do. And I think it's going to be hard times over there until they come up with one.
That's the thing. I just think,
I mean, they have to have something that's got a real hook.
And that's
just
part
like,
of the reason why the Final Fantasy 13 loss was so big. Because although it was still a niche title,
it's known.
Yeah,
it was
you know what I mean?
It's known. Well, and it's their last thing, big known exclusive.
One thing you know now is that that's not going to turn the tide. If that was something that other developers or just the press or whoever could kind of point to and say, maybe this is going to do it. No, they can't.
One of my friends and I had always been saying, well, I'm not gonna say it's the situation is now set in stone until that game comes out. But now we've announced to ourselves, unless something big happens, this is pretty much the situation from here on out.
Yeah,
it's gonna be this weird like second, third battle going on with the Wii way out there, but not really affecting the battle between the other two.
Yeah, no, not too much. No, I think that's where we've come to now. Is it really does exist independently? You know, and I mean, I guess the challenge for Nintendo in some ways is that is it possible for them or is it fruitful for them to actually? Is there anybody they can even attract at this point from that wing of the sort of gaming audience?
Well,
is there a way to get people to buy? You know, people who primarily game on 360 or PS3. To buy a Wii, I mean, is that even possible at this point?
I think it's going to be more like pacifying their fans from, you know, fans who...
Yeah, because they're servicing the people that will own GameCubes and transition naturally to Wii.
Well, and there might be servicing the lapsed gamers from the N64 era, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's money to be made in that, because they made money doing that on GameCube.
But there's not Carnival Games money to be made in that.
Well, I think, but at the end of the day, money's money. I mean, it's all profit.
By the way,
you know
Carnival
I mean?
Games
all spends the
money
same, you know
is
what I'm
a
saying?
Phrase I never thought I'd say with any seriousness.
And the fact of the matter is that these games that they're making a lot of money off is something like Wii Music probably or whatever. They don't take a huge amount of development resources, so they have this well that they've built up of. You know, second parties they've acquired, or they've become first parties, or they're all their internal teams, all this sort of stuff that need to make games, and they can make games and make profitable games. So I think that in that sense, you know, there is still this sort of sub-market that's going to make money for them, and it's kind of a diversification thing, because as much as Reggie went out of his way to say, oh, you know, Wii is not a fad and all that, I don't think it's as dependable that it is going to continue to swell their coffers as the traditional gamer market, because they're proven over time. They will, you know, even on GameCube, where it's a modest success at best, if you want to describe it that way, it was a profitable enterprise. They made money on the console, they made money on the game.
Which is not what the more successful Xbox could argue.
Yeah, so in that sense, it seems to me, you know, kind of silly to forego the opportunity to continue making money off those people that, you know, were sufficiently dependable that even in that time, you could make money off them. You're still going to be able to make money off them now if you try. Mm-hmm. And I think they will. It's just a question of, you know, how hard they think they have to try.
Yeah.
And I guess the real concern for us is that if they continue to show this pattern of neglect, is the effort going in on the development side?
Well, that's the thing.
That's what we start to worry about.
They really have to watch themselves, because the last thing that they want to happen, is for the really hardcore people to just say, you know what? Fuck Nintendo, I'm out of here. That's the last thing they want to do, because we're the people that basically bought the Wii's first day. We're lining up to get them.
Yep,
we're those people. We're not the people that are buying the people that buy on the Wii that are buying the Wii now. Aren't the people that bought the Wii when it first came out? You know what I mean? That lined up you know.
Exactly. And I think the point is, these are people, even if they've got 360s and their gaming budget is getting stretched, they're still the people that are going to buy the most software.
Absolutely.
So in that sense, you know, it's a rich vein to be tapped. I mean, the issue with it, because that's why I think there is, you know, that some of the kind of sky is falling kind of stuff is taking it too far. Not just because A, this is a press conference with very specific aims, but B, the fact these games that they're developing, they can't develop too many Wii Musics, because the people they're trying to sell it to on a mass scale are not going to buy that many games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's only so many Wii Musics they can make in a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't even take that many development resources to make
well,
in the first
they
place.
Are devoting, what is it, R&D2?
Yeah, but the R&D2 also happens...
Crap right now.
Yeah, well, that's the point, though. The EAD Division 2, or whatever it's called, are also making Animal Crossing and Wii Sports Resort at the same time. So that shows you how much resource...
Iguchi is the head of R&D2?
He's the producer on all three of those, so that's the point. I mean, yeah. that in itself tells
somebody
you
somebody is getting a new car... At the end of the year.
The point being that you don't have to develop great swaths of your development teams to you'd have to assign great proportions of your development team to make these games. You can't just say, oh look, Wii Sports Resort sold, you know, 5 million copies in America or something ridiculous, you know, let's make the next one like the 6 months after. You just can't do it because that audience is not interested
in buying
games.
But see, at the same time,
regular.
If they produce enough of these Wii Blank series, they can, because they could just cycle around them and hit one every 2 years.
Oh, well, they could certainly make a certain amount and they may well cycle around, but my feeling is just there's a definite cap on how many they can expect to put out in a given year, because their audience for them is not going to say, I'm looking to buy four of these a year. It's going to be two.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Rock Band and Guitar Hero. You know, there's other companies trying to make games like that, like what's that Ultimate Band.
Yeah.
And
Konami's
Rock
Revolution,
I think, or something
well,
like that.
You know, yeah.
It's like, how? I mean, I don't have enough room in my house for all this Rock Band crap to begin
well, you know,
with,
and the
right?
funny thing is, was it Rock Band or is it Guitar Hero that's going to start supporting the other one's hardware?
I think Guitar Hero is.
Yeah,
it's
and
Guitar
I,
Hero
I wouldn't
World
be
Tour.
Surprised if the next Rock Band supports the Guitar Hero on tour hard.
I
mean, not
well,
on tour,
I mean,
World
I
tour.
Guess at some point they have to worry that, yeah, in fact, that the continuing to require people to buy the hardware side is actually going to hurt sales.
Yeah,
maybe,
and
you know,
there has been sort of hardware detente going on between the two.
But I think the point is, therefore, that if you're not having to assign that much of your development power to it, and there's a very definite limit on how many games you can make, that leaves so much left over to make these more traditional games that will be profitable in a different way. And it's just, I mean, you know, any company like Nintendo obviously is making a lot of money now. It helps. It's just perfectly rational in a business sense to diversify your revenue streams, so that if something goes wrong in one part of the market, the other part of the market that has different underlying fundamentals would not be affected by those, and they keep supplying it. You know, I mean, say the economy goes further south to the point that this casual market gets cut out completely. Mm-hmm. The core guys are probably still going to be there. Yep. I mean, they're the really dedicated guys that, like, even if times are tight, yep. they're still spending their money on something like, you know, a Mario or a Zelda or a Metroid to cheer them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why... You can't. I don't think Nintendo. At the end of the day, the thing about Nintendo you can always count on. We've said it before, is the commercial imperative. And even though it might not seem like it, versus something like crazy profitable, like Wii Fit or any of these things, the fact is that it is an important part of their business strategy, and they will continue to pursue it. I just want to see them pursue it well, because right now I don't know that they're doing that, because they're not cranking that hype machine. There's too many things like Advance Wars and Wario that it's just like, okay, it's always like the marketing part is begrudging. Like, it's like, okay, do we have to market this? Do we have to talk to this about the press? You know, to mm-hmm. the press. It's like, we put a press release 2 months ahead of time and be done with it.
Yeah,
that's what it seems
that's,
like.
Yeah,
right
I feel that too. I mean, that's completely the attitude I get. Like, all right, you know, we really want to sell you this, but I guess we have this kind of hardcore game to talk about, so whatever, here's a press release.
So let's say they do something in September. Where do you think it'll be? What do you think the focus will be? And what do you think they'll show?
It'll be in San Fran.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, that's their kind of, if they're having another media summit like they've had in the past, you know, that's kind of their base to do that from, I guess.
You don't think it'll coincide with TGS?
Well, it could do. It depends. It depends, because they have, even though they don't have that presence there usually, they still will synchronize up their events sometimes with that. So that's possible. Mm-hmm. It depends on what market it's primarily aimed at, isn't it?
Well, that's part two of the question. What do you think they'll show?
Well, I mean, I think they could be something. I mean, we've talked about, I think, Punch-Out and Pikmin are probably the two most likely. It is possible that Pikmin could still be coming out this year.
I think Pikmin is really, really early. I think that's what
You would think. You would think it's early because they mentioned it without showing it, but that it still seems to be like it's not entirely impossible that it could be somewhat further along than so. If they are willing to talk about it at all, one thinks that it's further along than some things. And then I suppose the thing with the punch out thing is just that, you know, we seem to have some decent information on that, and now it's kind of you wonder whether that could come back.
I mean, I'm clinging to my hope that there's going to be something from Retro Studios announced at some time this year.
Well, Retro Studios, you know, I mean, they're working on something. We know that. Yeah. So the question is just how are they going to handle it? Because I think the thing with something like What's From Retro is that you should market that a different way.
Yeah.
In terms of how you present that is you don't slip out the news 2 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever's coming next from Retro, build it up a year ahead of time. You know what I mean? I know Nintendo took a lot of crap for the N64 era where it's like, okay, here's this. Oh, it's coming out sometime in 18 months when it's actually coming out in 30 months' time. Or whatever.
Well, you know, it was really just... And they seem to have just... Yeah, it's going to come out. And that was all you got.
They seem to have just said, like, oh, we're definitely not getting to that anymore. You know, that everything's kind of like a few months ahead of time, they show it, you know, it's less than a calendar year. But with something different, like a Retro Studios game or something like that, take the time.
Yeah, well, they did with Brawl, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, they did with Brawl, and I think it worked.
I think Stoking,
well, yeah, some of it was not so much a strategy as it just was, you know, that Sakurai was
dicking around with the game for a while.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it took longer than they had obviously envisioned, and then there was the production issues that they couldn't print the discs or whatever.
that sounds, you know, like, I mean, BS to me still. I still think that's a lie.
Yeah.
So, but with something like a Retro, I would say show it earlier, you know, even if it's like fairly meaningless to, you know, you are talking to different people and they want to be sort of, you know, you need to sort of feed it to them gradually over a period
of time.
Well,
not just that. I think that we as a culture, you know, in the more hardcore market, like to have our ego stroked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit of that too, which I think is why there was the sort of...
Yeah, I mean,
there's
a kind of element of affirmation about it.
Yeah, we like to be told you're important.
It's like,
here are the games we're
like
making for you.
It's like, we like this stuff, we identify with this stuff, and then you are reciprocating along those lines.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that sort of reinforces the identification of the audience, and then they are more hyped to get it, they buy it, they're more inclined to tell their friends about it or whatever. You know, it just spreads from there.
I kind of feel like
that's what I think.
I kind of feel like, hey, you know, it's like I've paid my dues. Give me some love, Nintendo. Come on. You know how many games of yours I've bought? Good lord.
Well, it's sort of the same as, like, you know, it's just like if you know somebody who suddenly starts running with a cooler crowd and they don't talk to you. That's sort of what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been left for the cool kids. Goddamn it.
I know. Come on.
Like I said, I mean, I honestly think there's no way that they're not going to supply us with a certain amount. It may not be as many as you'd like, and obviously with the technical limitations, it's not everything you'd want necessarily.
Oh, so you're you're saying it's not like they've left us for the cool kids, it's that they just won't be seen in public with us to hurt their image.
Well, I mean, with E3, that is a very good analogy. It is. It's like they don't want USA Today getting confused with the fact they're making, you know, a Metroid game hypothetically, or a Star Fox game, or F-Zero, or Kid Icarus. So what, you know, it's just,
I mean,
like, no, we don't want them finding out about that.
I mean, they obviously want to, you know, push themselves away from the 360 and PS3 as far as they possibly can.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the contrast could not have been more stark.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, frankly,
I think the contrast couldn't have been more stark with what they showed. 360 showed last year. I think compared to what 360 showed this year, it's
the
goddamn same platform.
Yeah.
Well, ignoring the no, because the key difference is, first of all, you had your guys like Molyneux, and you had Fable, you had Fallout 3, and all. But also, what you had was,
I promise you, this will be the best game ever.
Gears of War 2, and it looks, you know, really impressive and everything. But that is every silly stereotype that the mainstream media has about video
large,
games.
Muscular, bald, space marine named Marcus.
Crazy violence, crazy nutty crap going on, fucking aliens, guns, all this insane crap.
One for you.
And the most risible dialogue ever.
Incredibly huge, muscular guy.
It's just like near self-parody
levels. Bald, muscular guys in space.
It's like testosterone everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the testosterone element is near in self-parody, and I mean, it's just like if the mainstream media sees that,
if we're worried about that, why didn't they show Onitch and Bara at the press conference? I mean, wouldn't that have been perfect for those audiences?
Yeah, really.
I would have loved to see the Today Show have to talk about that game.
And here we have the bikini money zombie killing game.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, these kinds of like adolescent fantasy games are the last thing that Nintendo wants to be seen handling.
Right. Two images.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they is like, we do not deal in adolescent fantasies. That is not what Wii is about. You know, and obviously Gears of War does look a lot like that. You know, I mean, and also, I mean, GTA to an extent, but the thing is, I think they was willing to discuss that in brief. I mean, it was brief.
Yeah, just it's because so brief of the sheer... that all we got was a name, and then we didn't know anything until we got
And that's all that was important. It's just like, it's just saying, it's implying to the mainstream
and you know, even
media,
that, even the press release that we got, what was it, about 2 hours later? It was also really brief and lacking in detail.
Yes. Oh, it was indeed. So I think it's very, that to me. Yeah, I mean, it was weird that then after you had Gears, you had this Avatar stuff. I mean, that was and that's the problem. I think that in one sense is where at least Nintendo's was coherent.
Yeah.
Microsoft was this ghastly fudge that if you are someone from the mainstream media or from the gaming media, at some point you say, this is terribly incongruous, isn't it? Well, you know, I mean
and by the same token, Sony also, the one credit you can give to Sony is that they were strictly hardcore from front to back.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, Killzone 2, every single game they had in there was totally hardcore.
And pre-rendered.
From front to back. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, Microsoft have kind of really, you know, they've tried to move so hard with this Avatar system and all this, you know, the movies, games, and the lips, all that. It just seems a bit tacked on, and it's just, I don't know, almost they might benefit from separating out the two things, you know?
Yeah.
Like if they could communicate. I think there's nothing wrong with trying to communicate to different audiences at different times, because they are very different. I mean, it is a very different element of video gaming. You can't deny that it's different perceptions, different, like, consumer habits, everything. So I've no problem with segmenting it up, but just, you know, do it in, actually do it. I mean, really do it, rather than this sells itself. You know, that's my fear, is that Nintendo are like, this stuff will sell itself, and then at some point it doesn't.
Yeah, that'll be the bad day.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of like, well, this isn't selling so well, so we're going to put less effort into it, and then it sells less well, and so forth, until you get to
Ubisoft.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to get that, but obviously, but I just think that's the worst case scenario. That is the kind of the where it kind of all falls apart, and some of the kind
but,
of doom
know,
and gloom.
I think that
really,
you know, as
through.
Much as I've mocked them, that they are a meaningful example here of what can happen if you put all your eggs into just making these casual games.
Yeah,
there is a certain backlash, and you do start to say, well, the more quality we put in these games, they don't really get the attention, so we're going to put less emphasis in.
Well, again, I mean, I think that's another factor with this idea of like how many of these games Nintendo can make with the Wii branding, is that, again, I think it's limited because they don't want to dilute the brand.
And I think that
I think what they want is that, you know, these consumers that they're aiming for that aren't going to buy many games in a year, but what they do want to do is kind of say, well, this is like an event game for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's the next
this is our,
in the
this
Wii.
Is our brawl.
So it, you know, it is in that sense, that's this is what you need to buy for Wii this year, you know,
right.
One or two games
this
or whatever.
And
so therefore you don't do that by flooding it with Wii this, that, and everything other.
Right.
And then you just lose them completely, and they lose a sense of what they're supposed to buy.
Yeah.
Because I really believe that is some of what Nintendo's trying to do. It's like, look, this has got the Wii prefix on it. We're pushing it at E3. if you own a Wii and you've bought a couple of games, this is what you're supposed to buy next. That is that
so
is
they're
the
actually
formula.
Leading them by the hand to their purchases.
Yep.
Yeah, very much so. It's very much like a
does
sort
that
of
strike anyone else as completely insane?
Well, I don't think it's insane. I think it's I think it's the market they're dealing with.
Yeah,
I mean,
look at the crowd.
You are not dealing with the highly discerning purchasers.
Yeah.
Obviously, some people that buy these games will be doing it in a discerning way. I don't mean to generalize, but clearly, when you're broadening it out this far, a lot of the people that are going to buy it are not going to be doing it on some sort of ruthless technical comparison or Metacritic.
Exactly.
Or those, what else?
Exactly.
They're
going
to do it because there is a general perception that this is the next big thing that's on Wii, about Wii, so they need to get it. That's why Nintendo is being so kind of monolithic in its E3. Because it's like, we don't want to interfere with that.
Well. There are people I know who have bought a Wii, and all they do with it is play Wii Sports on it.
Oh,
so
yeah, I know that too.
It makes perfect sense for Nintendo to say, hey, if you like Wii Sports, this is the next version of Wii Sports,
I think
you should
get
it. Yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, there's a sort of probably a tier above those people that play Wii Sports a lot, and then they've bought a handful of other games.
Like Guitar Hero or something like that.
Maybe Wii.
Yeah, I mean,
Guitar Hero,
I know that
Wii
personally,
Fit,
so. I've sold at least 2 Wiis just by them having played Wii Sports Bowling.
Yeah.
And they're like, well,
that's the kind
play.
Of thing.
And it's just, to me, it just blew my mind they'd pay $250 for that. But they're happy with that.
Yeah.
And that's
their decision to make. They don't use the same kind of calculus that we use.
Right.
They don't say, well, it's $250, but to us, we might think, well, $250 goes this far towards a 360. Or
right.
It buys this many games for the 360, or you know, it buys this many DS games.
It buys this percentage of a new graphics card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like 20%.
Sure, absolutely. So you have all like these very sort of inside baseball relative comparisons and stuff that we make. They don't exist. It's purely just it's relative to goodness knows what else, you know.
Yeah, it's
whatever
totally
else they would
on,
spend their income on.
I mean, for God's sakes, one of them actually wears a bowling shirt while they're playing it. And to me, this seemed like I had just it does go back to that Penny Arcade quote where it was like the altar at which you worshipped, your ascendant god has now turned their back on you.
Yeah.
It does have a little bit of an odd feeling of this really isn't the company I know.
It's kind of beyond us.
Well,
yeah.
They have gone that way. But like I said, I think the difference is I don't think that the two arms are mutually exclusive.
No, but
some people do seem to think that's the case. I really don't.
Well, right now that they've only been showing one arm. The other one's behind their back.
Well, yeah, but that's what we've been talking about here.
The last 2 hours.
Will they actually do something to really like just demonstrate a you know, something that looks well thought out, cohesive approach to saying we've got all these games in development from our internal teams, our third party partners, you know, and stuff like Fatal Frame, you know, they've gone into an agreement there, you know, and I mean the scary thing is that game is coming out this month. It's coming out in like a fortnight in Japan, and obviously we're not in Japan, but it doesn't look like they've been marketing the shit out of it there either.
No,
it doesn't.
I mean, I think they put a video up on everyone's Nintendo channel there or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't seen screenshots or anything like that.
I mean, one thing that really conveys the sense of terror in Fatal Frame is when it's letterboxed in a white and blue thing.
Mm-hmm. What the hell?
No, I mean, that part of it is kind of pathetic.
Yeah, a little bit.
The main thing I took from this E3 is it just solidified what we saw, well, kind of solidified the sort of Wii Fit part of last year's E3 and kind of affirmed that we won't be seeing the Metroid Prime 3 part of E3 probably ever again.
No, unfortunately.
And then what it leaves you with is just the sense that they need to really think about how they're going to sell their other games, if not at E3.
Yeah, well,
and we just don't know what that is yet.
Before we wrap it up, I want to ask you a personal question. As I would say you're a pretty big Metroid fan.
Yep.
Maybe you might be as big a Metroid fan as they are of Wii Sports Bowling. Have you dressed up like Samus or Gore to play your Metroid games?
Funnily, no, I haven't. But it's not really a fair comparison.
Oh.
It's not quite as easy.
I think it would be much more enjoyable dressed up as a giant cyborg who interfaces with tanks.
Have you at least put something on your arm and pretended you that it's that you can
strap the remote to your arm when you're aiming?
No, that hasn't happened though. But I mean, look, I mean that's the thing. I mean, the Wii has this kind of play element to it, and that's what they're going for with Wii Music as well.
No, I know what Greg does. People, Greg rolls up into a ball and rolls around the room.
Yeah, I am that light.
You can do it with the Wii remote, right? It's wireless, so you just rolls around the room.
Oh,
I just I just jam it into my stomach, roll around.
That's an unfortunate image right there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know how I would create like a concussive blast to
Well, since Johnny's not here, I want to get a dig in before we go.
Go ahead. I suppose the runway's clear.
Let's see. So, I want to point out that our home team has done a fantastic job doing the Nintendo World Report E3 coverage. We've written a ton of previews, more than I think we've done in any one sitting.
Yep. Indeed.
Maybe in years. Yep. We've managed a huge media kit we had, and especially our news team, the Chiron's Fist organization. Has done a fabulous job of keeping up with everything that's going on.
Yeah, Nick and Neil especially.
Nick, Neil, absolutely great work. Les has been doing good work. Even, you know, our European correspondents, Greg and Carly, have been, you know, pitching in. And
hell, I wrote something.
Even I wrote something, and I never write anything.
Ridiculous sight.
Yeah, James,
we never do anything. Well, you do stuff. I don't do anything.
Yeah, John doesn't even do the review editing anymore. He just sends it back and just types random crap into the comments. Like, oh my god, I used this word.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
He did. Yeah. He actually sent a comment that said, oh my god, I used this word. I was like, what the fuck?
I was getting
fuck?
Pretty bored by that point.
And but they've done a great job. However, our field staff... So, how many articles has our field staff written?
Well, they've written a couple.
No, they've written one, and we were already working on it when they posted it.
Yeah, that's where we are, unfortunately. I guess that's the left hand and the right hand not really knowing each other all that well right now.
So things haven't been going so good from the on the field staff.
Or things have been going too well for the field staff.
What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I think they've been living it up with the reporters from the USA Today.
I think so.
They've been Jaeger bombing with reporters from Time Life. No, we know Johnny would be drinking his Ruski Standard instead.
Oh, I like the pronunciation.
By the way, Johnny and Wendy drunk in a room with a sober TYP and Chiron trying to keep control is an awesome image I would love to see in person.
That's pretty great.
John's already seeing it.
I think I probably have seen it at one point, but I've just tried to block it out. Honestly.
No.
So guys, they can't hear this because it's going to come out afterwards, but let's all hope they had a big old party following the closing of today's events before they record today's podcast.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, it may be if the proceedings had actually put them in more of a celebratory mood, we could have expected that. Or maybe, you know, it'll
mournful drinking.
You never know. Yeah.
But so this will be the third official RFN in which Johnny has not appeared.
Mm-hmm.
To put that in perspective, it's only been 4 since staff alumnus hasn't appeared, so good job, John. Speaking of which, you have 1 week to come back before we replace you with Carl.
that is if your demands are not met.
He's our podcaster for hire.
That's right.
Yeah. Podcast mercenaries?
Podcast merc, yeah.
PMC's war has changed.
No,
podcasting has changed.
Oh my god!
Podcasting, well, military corporation.
Podcasting, really need to up the ante. We will bring Stan back every week until you return, Johnny.
Yes.
Good god.
We're not holding the podcast hostage.
How do you negotiate with that?
We do not negotiate with criminal threats.
That is a tough one. On that bombshell, we'll close
both literally and figuratively.
Yeah, quite literally. We'll close this out, and thanks for sticking with us through this. And hopefully, we'll meet back up with Johnny at some point in the future for an RFN episode.
It's never gonna
It's been nice listening to him during this week, but we would like to have him back as well.
It's not so much fun to ding without him here.
Yeah,
fair point. But we'll look forward to that. Hopefully next week he'll be coming back into the podcast fold. And obviously, thanks for sticking with us and with the LA team all through the E3 coverage, even if it wasn't obviously the most exciting week that it could have been, I suppose. And I'll thank John and James for joining me again.
Yep,
pleasure.
Nice job, gentlemen. And
are you sure about that?
It was very early. And I'll catch you again later, guys.
Later.
Later.
Bye.